And God remembers everything about you. He does not remember your sin. He does not remember the goofiness that you repented of. But He does remember every cup of water that you gave to somebody. Everything that you've ever done to help another person and assist him in the kingdom, God remembers. Now, the Bible tells us to remember all of our offerings. You know, I've lost track. I don't know how much Mama Alberta and I have sown into the kingdom. I remember specific seeds that I've sown that marked us, you know. For instance, when we sowed our farm, 8 acres and everything. I mean, I won't forget that one, right? And, you know, various different things that God has challenged us over the years, and He's brought harvest back into our lives. And there are things that we've sown for, we've yet to see the harvest on, but we believe it's near and even on the way. And so Zechariah is an interesting prophet. Him and Haggai were kind of like buddies, prophesying buddies. And Zechariah comes out of the priesthood. His grandfather, Iddo, was a priest. And I think that's who it was. And so he has a priestly prophetic cut. Now that's important because a priest has a heart for God's house. A prophet is liable to be just out prophesying like John the Baptist, you know, a voice crying in the wilderness. You don't see him in the synagogue. You don't see him in the temple. You understand what I'm saying? So a lot of prophetic voices are not necessarily priesthood prophets, but Zechariah is. And that's very important because this is the year of the priesthood. And when you hear priests prophesying the word of the Lord, you know that God is saying that to His beloved church, not just prophesying as into the earth for whosoever has ears to hear. Are you following what I'm saying? He was sent to a specific people, God's people. And so Zechariah, he has numerous visions. And he then takes the visions that he's seeing and he puts words to them. I can relate to that because I see visions a lot. I ain't talking about goofiness. I ain't talking about eating pizza at midnight and thinking you saw something. I'm talking about spending time with God and really all of a sudden, boom, here it comes. And for instance, last night with Dennis Burke, I saw that. I saw him. That's how I knew. I didn't know his name. I couldn't remember his name at first, right? Are you following? And it happens to me a whole lot. But see, I confess, I will come into visions and revelations of who he is. I confess that nearly every day, see? And so Zechariah is prophesying. That's a sharp jacket back there, James. Hallelujah. You looking prosperous, young man. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Go ahead and turn around so you can see what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And so, as we go into Zechariah chapter 8, 8's the number of new beginnings, he is prophesying the visions that he has been seeing. You following that? And so when we read the Old Testament, the Bible says these things were written for our examples, what to do and what not to do. And then there is revelation that can be applied to that that's relevant to where we're living. For instance, if you look at David killing Goliath, well, that was an actual event. But you may be facing a giant in your life, and you can read that account, and God can use that account to let you know it doesn't matter how little you are. Doesn't matter how big that giant is. If God before you, he's coming down, and you're going to cut his head off, right? So we use the Old Testament. We don't throw it away like some churches do. They say, well, that's old covenant. No, the Bible says if the New Testament does not put away something in the Old Testament, then everything in the Old Testament is carried forward. In other words, Jesus said, you know, the old covenant said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. In other words, if you put somebody's eye out, they bring you in front of the elders and put your eye out. But Jesus said, I know it says eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say. And he got rid of that, right? Right? But then there's things in the old covenant that were brought into the new covenant, like the blessing of Abraham. Galatians 3:13, it says how Christ was crucified, right? Right? He became a curse to redeem us from the curse so that the blessing of Abraham could come on all of us. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So it's important when we're reading the Old Testament not to throw it away like that's just some history book that doesn't apply to us. No, there's all kinds of wisdom. There's all kinds of prophetic things in the Old Testament that have yet to be fulfilled in the New Testament. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former. That's in the Old Testament, but it will be fulfilled with the New Testament church. You understand what I'm saying? So, we need to understand then when we're reading Zechariah this morning that, yes, that was an event. That was a specific time frame for a specific people that he was prophesying to. But we take it and apply it and understand how it's relevant to the age we're living in. Are you following this? Because the world out there is crazy. In case you ain't noticed, they have lost their mind. They're insane. They're destroying themselves. But you and I, we've lost our minds. Hallelujah. We have the mind of Christ. Praise the Lord. We're not conformed to this crazy world. We're transformed by the renewing of our minds. Well, something about this spot right here, I tell you. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I'm between these two right here. Hallelujah. So, what I'm going to share this morning is hours old as far as we're concerned. I just got it. Now, you know, the next 3 weeks, I'll be preaching stuff that I know and have lived and testimonies within it. And if God brings something forth beyond what I know, so be it. Hope he does. Right? Amen. But this is breaking news from heaven. All right? Okay. Now, we're going to read Zechariah 8, and we're going to read, well, let me read. I don't know what happens when you all read. My goodness. Hallelujah. Let's begin at verse number 1. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy. I was jealous for her with great fury. Remember that? Thus saith the Lord, I'm returned unto Zion. Zion's the church. I'm returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of the capital city, Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth. Now let me stop there. Frankfurt. Frank is to be just blunt. Just to be in your face, well, to be frank about it, and just cut straight to the chase. Right? And of course, a fort is a fortress. So Frankfort is a place where truth is going to, a city of truth, that's going to be a safe haven, a fortress, way beyond these four walls here, way beyond this ministry. God knows if he can take this capital city for his glory, he's got the state. He knows that. That's why he's assigned us here. See? This was not my choice to be in Frankfurt, to live here. Come on now. But it was my choice to obey God. Right? Are you thankful that Faith Victory Church is here? Yes. Hallelujah. All right. So it says here, verse 3, Thus saith the Lord, I'm returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Now he refers to himself the Lord of hosts, which is the Lord of wars. Our God is a man of war. And when you mess with his agenda, you're getting in some dangerous waters. I told you before when that all that COVID mess was manufactured, that it was an attack against the voice of God. God takes it personally. You remember when Saul was on the way to Damascus and he was attacking the voice of God's people? He was attacking every voice that God had commissioned in that early church. Remember that? And Saul had in his hand paperwork to lies, indictments, to throw these men and women of God in prison, to shut them down. They even succeeded to some degree throwing Peter in prison, but he came busting out. The angel busted him out. They threw Paul in prison. And Paul said, hey, I'm in here. I needed the break anyways. I got to write 2/3 of the New Testament. And by the way, the Word of God is not bound. And Saul was attacking the voice of God so much that Jesus interrupted him and said, well, I feel the Holy Ghost coming on me right there. Jesus is about to interrupt some people that have been attacking the voice of God. And Jesus said to them, why are you attacking me? Why are you coming against me? He never mentioned anyone else. He said, why are you coming against me? God takes what's going on in America, all this mess that's going on, right? The attack against our children, against the education system, you name it, out there, he's had enough. You're going to see he's had enough. And regardless of what your situation may look like at the current moment, it's about to be radically changed because God's looking at his watch. And he's going to have everything. To everything, there's a time and a purpose under the heaven. and he knows in the fullness of time how to birth Jesus on the planet. And in the fullness of time, he knows how to bring Jesus back on the planet. And a whole lot of things have to happen. And the world is trying to arrange themselves into this one global organization that will try to stop the government of God, the church of God. But this is how crazy. This is how crazy. How many of you would ever give God the finger? Y'all understand the finger? Oh, not that one. Look at y'all holy looking. You would not dare do that. But they're out there blaspheming God. Come on. Even bringing satanic worship right out in the open. Come on now. And God's had enough. You're going to see this. God's had enough of this mess. Hallelujah. Now, where was I? Verse 4, thus saith the Lord of war, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age, and the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of these people in these days, should it also be marvelous in my eyes, saith the Lord of hosts? Thus saith the Lord of hosts. How many times he got to say Lord of hosts? He's driving this point home. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Excuse me. Thus saith the Lord of war, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before these days there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in, because of the affliction or the pressure. For I set all men, everyone against his neighbor. But now, I will not be unto the residue of the people, as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people, I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And it shall come to pass that as you were a curse among the heathen, O house of praise, O house of Judah, and house of Israel, so I will save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. Father, give me utterance in Jesus' name. Now, as I was listening to Dennis Burke last night, he read this out of the New Living Translation. So just relax, right? And just look at the screen this morning, because we're going to go back through this. And how many of you are living new? So the New Living Translation will just kind of fit right in, wouldn't it? But it's a great translation. We got many translations that is not limited to just one Hebrew scholar's interpretation, right? And this really brings out these verses. So we're going to go back through this now, and I'm going to expound on these verses and bring them, hopefully, into your ears in a way that you comprehend what the Lord is saying to us in this moment. Okay? All right. Zechariah 8:1, and now we're looking at the New Living Translation. Then another message came to me from the Lord of Heaven's armies. That's how they interpret heaven's host, heaven's armies, which is the angels, right? How many of you know we got angels? Glory be to God. You're not in this by yourself. No. You got big angels. Like when I had that heart attack and the Lord gave me that vision and showed me that big angel just like it right here. No, he belongs to Jesus. He ain't going nowhere. He died again. No, he ain't going nowhere. He died again. No, he ain't going nowhere. Six times. He ain't going nowhere. You ain't going nowhere. We got things to do. Live long, live strong. Come on now. Don't care what's trying to ail you. Verse 2 says this. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. My love, now watch this. My love for Mount Zion is passionate and strong. I am consumed with passion for the capital city. Jerusalem's the capital city. Are you following this? And Zion is the church, right? So the Lord is consumed with passion. Now, God's love for his church is passionate and strong, according to this, right? Now, listen to this. God's driving force is his love that brings forth his passion. Do you see that? What do you love? Whatever you love, it's the driving force for the passion for it. See, I have a passion for God. I love God. There's times I've had to stir myself up, being distracted or busy or whatever. But once I'd settle down and get out of the soul realm and quit let flesh dictating, that love for God never went. And once it got where it needed to be, that passion for the things of God returned. Well, how much more God? God is saying he's passionate about you. He's in love with you, each and every one of you. In all your dysfunction, and in all your flaws, and in all your imperfections, he's gladly in love with you. And he has made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. That old man is dead, buried with him in baptism, and you are risen with him in the resurrection of his spirit. The same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead has quickened your mortal body also. You are not that old man. You are not that old woman. You are a king and a priest. You're not a nothing. You're a something. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. And God has a driving force to make sure that you and I cross the finish line, not beat down, not barely making it, not stumbling over the finish line, but walking, running through that line with our hands lifted up, giving glory to God, knowing that when we were about to quit, when we were about to give up on that last lap, here he came, and you felt the arms of God underneath you, picking you up when you stumbled or even fell. He picked you up. Hey, I got the Holy Ghost helping me. And he got you to the finish line. Somebody shout early. Great is his faithfulness. Okay, you're dismissed. You go home just on that. Stay with me. So he's passionate. Now listen, all churches aren't the same. Every God-ordained church, not man-ordained, God-ordained, has strategically been put in a place and given an assignment for the advancement of the kingdom. See, do I think we're the only church in Frankfurt God has an assignment given? No, not at all. But I do know that we have an apostolic covering here, that, and we have insight. We know his plan to take over this city for the glory of God. You're going to see some things this morning. See? And when God's passion runs high, you're about to see power. All of hell couldn't stop you from getting saved. All the mess you were involved in, when you just turned your heart towards God in all your mess, the passion of and love of God was shed abroad in your heart. Even though you're still walking around with shame and guilt, not understanding what just happened, and even if you've gotten involved in stuff after that, but you went running back to God. The name of the Lord is a strong... I don't know why I'm here this morning, but the name of the Lord is a strong tower. You don't run from God. You run to God. Come on now. When you confess that sin to him, wasn't the first time he found out about it. Oh, you really did that? He was there convicting you not to do it. You just hard-headed, did it anyways. We better get back here. Otherwise, I'm going to have to give an altar call. Hallelujah. So God's driving force is his love that brings forth his passion. Verse 3 in the New Living Translation. And now, look at your name and say, this is right now. And now the Lord says, watch this, I'm returning to my church. And I will what? Live in Jerusalem. He ain't coming. We've had visitations of God, but he ain't going to visit no more. His intention is to come and dwell and live among his people. Hallelujah. When he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, he lived with them. They weren't even born again. He lived with them. Thank God for the visitations we've had. We needed them. But can you imagine God looking at a people and saying, okay, they want me so much. Their passion and love for me is matching mine for them. He knows our passion can never match, but with everything within us, with all that we understand about him, we're looking that way. Are you following this? Well, it's good stuff where we're going. We ain't even got there yet, but we're there. And now the Lord says, I'm returning to Mount Zion, and I will live in Jerusalem. Then the capital city will be called the faithful city. The mountain of the Lord of heaven's armies will be called the holy mountain. Verse 4 and 5 says this. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Once again, old men and women will walk Jerusalem streets with their canes and will sit together in the city squares. And the streets of the city will be filled with boys and girls at play. Now, God went way past the church walls. He gonna hit the streets. I come off the streets. I street smart. There's a whole lot of killing going on the streets. Whole lot of fighting going on the streets. Drug dealing on the streets. Trafficking on the streets. God's going to get the streets. When I was growing up in Wilmore, the streets were a safe place. Man, we took our wiffle ball and bat out on the street, and we marked off where the bases were going to be. And, you know, if a car came up the street, which might happen once every 3 weeks, we all knew each other, and a car coming up, you know, they say out the window, who's winning? I mean, everybody knew each other. I mean, you know, the neighbors in evening time, they'd sit there and talk one another from their porches. Be out on the front porches talking and talking. I'm talking about across the street, next door. The streets were a safe place. You could go for a walk. Now think about a drive-by shooting. Hello? We're taking it to the streets. Now, how in the world can that happen? It can't. Not in the world. But with the Lord of War. You better stick with me. You're going to see some things this morning. This is God's plan for any city that has received their assignment from God. There's not a church that could be built that could house what he's going to do. But he needs a command center. He needs a headquarters. See? He needs a place where we can hear from heaven, dispatch the people of God, and then move throughout. See, that's the problem that the globalists have with us. They know if we would just stay inside our four little walls and just run the aisles and shout amen, fine. But we're a world distribution center. We're getting our voice out with every available means that God directs us. Television, radio, internet, books, music, come on, all the avenues that God has led us so far, and by the time Jesus snatches us off his planet, we're going to be all over the world. From here. Yeah, there might be some that go to the mission field, but, you know, we got a mission field right here in America. When I left the mission field of the Marshall Islands, the Lord said, now I'm sending you to the real heathen. America. They've gotten so smart that they've concluded there is no God. How smart can you be to conclude that? See? God is going to make the streets safe and enjoyable again. Yep. God is going to make the streets safe and enjoyable again. This is what happens when revival hits a place. This is what happens. Hey, if Jesus in a visitation, that's one thing. But when he coming to live, no, we straighten all this mess up. Going to do some house cleaning. But he does city cleaning. Jim Beam, you better look out. Just saying. You better look out. Zechariah 8:6 says, this is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. All this may seem impossible to you now. And then, see, I know the thought crossed your mind, how's it going to happen? All what he just said about when I'm done with this, you're going to be street safe, enjoying the streets. Old folk are going to go down and hang out, tell their old war stories. Come on now. Right? And the kids are going to be playing out there. Old folk going to be looking at the kids saying, hey, you remember when we played stickball? Come on now. Come on now. Laughing and carrying on. Hallelujah. Does all this seem impossible to you now? Oh, small remnant of God's people. He said, don't think because of your size. Don't think because of your size that it's impossible. Gideon's army. 32,000. And way outmanned right then. Lord said, too many. Whittles them down to 300. 300! Come on now. Now, I don't plan on staying small. But God don't wait for you to be bursting at the seams before he tells you what he's going to do. And he is doing. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. All this may seem. Here's your seamer. Boy, doesn't that thing get in your way? Well, it seems to me. We don't want to know what me seems. We don't want to know that. Because our seamer's already seamed it. We've all seamed it together. Come on, we've all had to deal with that seaming thing. We have to step past that seam and get over into faith. We don't serve a pee-wee God. All this may seem impossible to you now, a small remnant of God's people. But is it impossible for me? This is God talking. Now, who's going to answer that? Is it impossible for me? Yes. Who's going to answer it? Yes. That'd be like doing that. We still ain't got there. But we're on our way. I've heard from heaven. Hallelujah. And the anointing is in here backing me up. All this may seem impossible to you now, oh small remnant of God's people. But is it impossible for me? Let's answer that. like an army. You go look at revivals of the past that hit whole cities. Shut the strip clubs down. Bars closed. Prisons were emptied. Hospitals were emptied. Go read up on it. He'll do it again. And not just a visitation, but live there until we're carried out of here. The greatest show on earth. God has saved the best wine till last. And he's let you in it and I in on it. We're included in it. What a privilege. What an honor. Coming out of what we come out of, that God would say, that one. That one. Why? Because you got crazy faith. You believe God's that big. You believe the Bible. I said, you believe the Bible. You know how many folk don't believe the Bible? 50% of Christians, if this statistic is right, claim that they read the Bible 3 or 4 times a year. A lot of you all do that in a day. Not saying that that makes you spiritual, but if you're in there for the right reasons, not out of religious works. Woo! I just got it. At my cowboy. God is going to take what seems totally impossible, Elder Trish, and bring it to pass. So don't think your impossible situation right now is being overlooked. There's a reason why the Lord has said to preach, Lord have mercy, 3 weeks. Glory to God. I'm happy about it. I'm excited about it. I am. I'm in lockdown. I've been in lockdown before. Maybe y'all don't know what lockdown is. Let me clue you in. Lockdown is when you hear that cell door slam. And they don't say nothing to you. And you turn around, and there's you a little metal commode that ain't been cleaned with a metal sink that only has cold water and some little thin mat on a concrete floor with no window. You ain't going nowhere. You got a whole lot of time to think. Well, I'm in lockdown by the Spirit of God for the rest of this month. Hallelujah. But that's a good place. I'm not in my cell by myself. Matter of fact, it's where I like to be. Hallelujah. Because we're busting out. We are not going to stay where we're at. I refuse to go through another year going around the mountain again, prophesying to God's people, and everybody's still on the same level. I need you to use all your faith, all your commitment to lock down with me. You may have to reschedule some things. You may have to reprioritize your life. But I guarantee you, if you'll give God this month, He's going to impart and release something in your life that you've been dreaming about, that you've been envisioning, that you've sown for, that you have vowed for. We liable to go viral on YouTube with all this. The Leaping Church. Now look what he's got them doing. It's leap year. And we're in the leap month. And we had a prophetic move of the Holy Ghost. Well, I don't even remember when. And we got leaping in here. And the word of the Lord came to us and said, leap five times wherever you are, whenever you think about it. This is what the Lord of Heaven's Army says. All this may seem impossible to you now, but don't look at your size, a small remnant of God's people. But is it impossible for me, says the Lord of Heaven's Armies? No, it's not. Verse 7. This is what the Lord of Heaven's Army says. You can be sure. Whenever God uses the word sure, it is a covenant impossible to be broken utterance. When you say sure, you can break it. You coming over tonight? Sure. Then you don't show up. Well, let me say it this way. You come to church? Yeah. Sure. Why would you ask? Right? But you and I can break that shirt. He cannot. It's a sure thing. You can be sure that I will rescue, look what he says, my people. My people. From the east and from the west. Hallelujah. God is going to come to the rescue of his people. I tell you what. God rescued Mama Alberta from me. I was contemplating her disappearing. So I could have all the money and launch my rock and roll career. What happened to Alberta? I don't know. She went shopping. Never came home. Well, maybe she's on a shopping spree. Yeah, that's probably it. 6 months later, she's still shopping. But no. God rescued Alberta and gave her a husband that is faithful, that is gladly in love with her. You looking at one favored woman. Well, if God can put that in Philip Derber as a husband, to my bride. What do you think is in his passionate love heart for his bride? Right? And he says, be sure, I will rescue that's your rebellious child out there. Running all crazy. Thinking like you used to think. That there's no end to life. In their 20s, 30s, 40s, you're thinking, boy, I mean, you're just going to live forever. I got some breaking news for you. You know you're going to die? I didn't say today. We live long, we live strong. But you do know if Jesus should tarry, you're going to die. So this is all we got. 105, I'm out of here. I'm gone. You can sit there and try to tell me, oh, Pastor, we love you. You know, we can't keep going. Nothing. Shut up, you. I'm out of here. If you ain't got it by now, there ain't nothing I can say. I'm gone. This is all the time we got. Right? And those ones out there running, I said a while ago, there's different churches. See? And what happens, people gravitate to churches that meet their soul. See, when you came in here, it didn't meet your soul. Your soul went nuts. You started hearing the word of God, and your soul got all shook up. But something inside said, well, that's right. That's right. But your mind's going, well, I don't know. Come on now. And so people gravitate to where they're not being challenged, to where they can just punch the clock without being afflicted. Pressured to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Those need to get back into the fire of God as well. Come on now. Let me move on. Verse 8. I will bring them home again to live safely. Safely. In the capital city. They will be my people, and I will be faithful and just towards them as their God. God is going to bring those that have left home for whatever reason back home again, not to visit, to live safely. Now remember what we just read. Is it impossible for me? See? Right? Don't let that slip. God will have his people, and the people will have their God. We're almost where we need to get, even though this has been good. Verse 9. This is what, verse 9. 9. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. Now watch this. Be strong and finish the task. Be strong and finish what I told you to do. Ever since the laying of the foundation of phase 2, Stay with me now. They're talking about building the house of God there. Remember how I said you can bring things from the Old Testament and make them relevant to now? So don't think, well, he's changing Scripture. Ever since the laying of the foundation, come into RVN band practice and waiting on the guys to show up, and the Lord said, you're not going to practice tonight. We're not. No, you're going to go out here and you're going to dig a footer. I said, what? You're going to go out here and dig a footer for phase two. That don't make no sense. That didn't seem right. But I know his voice. So the guys show up. I said, guess what we're going to do tonight? Well, you got a new song? Yeah, I got a new song. And the band, as an act of faith, we went out there. I was a supervisor. I had to tell him, remove that rock, put it over here. Those guys went out there and started digging a ditch. And you have what we have now because they obeyed God and went out there and put action to thus saith the Lord. From that moment on, Operation Faith kicked in. From that night on, I mean, it started raining. They're still out there in it. Busted a hose or something on that thing. Hydraulic line on that little bobcat. Death door up in there. He can drive anything. Even if he'd never been in it before. He'd get in there and he'd look at stuff and he'd figure it out. Hallelujah. Ever since the laying of the foundation of phase two of the Lord of Heaven's armies, you have heard what the prophets have been saying about what? Completing the building. Pastor Jonathan comes in here. Remember that? Starts prophesying about the building being completed. Right? I've thrown every prophetic utterance I can against it. Right? That I'm allowed to. Are you following? And we're believing. I said, we're believing that by July, we're going to have our can camp meeting in phase two. The guys got the balcony wall up. Right? And pretty soon, the conference room and the offices will be done. We're moving downstairs into the foyer where the bathrooms are. They're going to be putting electricity in there and then moving into the Sunday school rooms right over here. Going to get the electricity installed there and get that all drywalled up. And we're going to keep moving with this thing. And the money, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, from the north, south, east, and west. Glory be to God. Come on. We're going to do it. And I'm going to stand behind that pulpit. No, I don't want a new pulpit. I want that pulpit. And say, look at what the Lord hath done. Debt free. But he's taking these kinds of things to prophetically keep you and I moving personally and corporately. Ever since the laying of the foundation of the temple of the Lord of Heaven's armies, you have heard what the prophets have been saying about completing the building. So Zechariah and Haggai, they were prophesying, saying, and they prospered through the prophesying of them. As long as the prophetic word kept coming forth, they knew they were hearing God. They knew that God was with them. They knew to keep moving. They knew not to look at what it seemed like. And God already painted the picture of what's going to happen when this thing is built, that it's going to affect the city. Well, all right. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 10. Before the work on phase 2 began, there were no jobs and no money to hire people, animals meaning machinery. No traveler was safe from the enemy, for there were enemies on all sides. I turned everyone against each other. In other words, the whole place was in a curse before the work on the temple began. But when it began, the economy changed. I said, the economy changed. Some of you came in here, and I mean, you're living barely getting by, and now you got good jobs. Now you're living better than you've ever lived before. Come on now. What's happened? You got in a place where you were taught about tithing, about sowing seed, and getting involved with what God has. And all of a sudden, you saw God begin to add to your life and so on and so forth. Well, I got news for you. He's going to go past your employment. He's going to go past your skill level. He's going to bring multiplication into your life. Hallelujah. These blessings will come on you and overtake you. More than you working overtime, more than you getting a bonus, more than you getting a tax return. Thank God for all that. Thank God for all that. Right? But you don't see that in the blessing of Abraham. He ain't coming home and telling Sarah, look what I made this week. Well, I haven't seen you all week. Well, I put in that all that overtime, but praise God for it. No, no, no. No, no, no. Now see, don't let your seamer get in there. When your seamer gets in there, you are stopping that harvest that you've been sowing for. Now, if you just sowed to have a good job and you're satisfied, okay, but don't be bad mouthing us that see beyond where you want to stop. Little nervousness in here. What's going on here is going to affect the economy. I remember when me and Mama Alberta first came up here. Ma, Alberta, you got to understand her. She grew up in Philadelphia. They used to go to New York restaurants and party up there. Then she moved to Hollywood, living in all that so-called worldly glamour, all that. And now God sends us to Frankfurt, where they got a Shoney's and a Frisch's and a Columbia Steakhouse. Well, we thought we was riding high. We had a, you remember the Columbia Steakhouse? Had a Columbia Steakhouse. My goodness. Woo, big time, big time. And she said, oh, no. Oh, no. And I told her, I said, well, honey, you got to quit cursing it. You got to start blessing this city, right? And, you know, we ain't there yet, but we got more options than Frisch's and Shoney's now, right? I mean, they're building a $13 million hotel right next to us, supposed to have two restaurants in it. Come on now. They don't know why they're building that. They just don't know. But we do. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, Dana. I'll get up there with you. Come on, girl. Hallelujah. They said April. Before the work of the temple began, there were no jobs No money to hire people or animals. No traveler was saved. We didn't have hotels. Had Best Western. Bluegrass Inn. Days Inn. They're building a new hotel right there on the other side of town. This town is going to be prosperous. Instead of you having to drive to Lexington or Louisville to go to a fine restaurant, they're going to be coming up here. We need a good mall. Hey, they're building a parking garage right down the street here. They got plans. They don't even know what. Hallelujah. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. Okay, I'm losing some of you. The economy is going to be affected by what goes on here. That is a bold statement, but I know it to be true. We arrived on what was called the slum of the Pacific, Ebi. And we began to prophesy prosperity to that island. It looks nothing like it did. It's not all the way there yet. That culture still has poverty mentality. But the buildings are changing. Everything, stores and places to eat and stuff is changing. Right? Come on. Somebody with a blessing has to prophesy. That's why don't be cursing your house. Prophesy. Bless it. Bless that car. Glory be to God. Got four wheels and starts up. Bless it. If you plan on going any further, come on. Should I stop? Verse 11. But now, I will not treat Faith Victory Church. I will not treat the remnant of my people as I treated them before, says the Lord of Heaven Armies. You about to be treated very differently. Oh, yes. Special treatment. Well, how'd you get that? God gave me a treat. Little Petey likes his treats. He'll do something right, like pottying in the right place. And Mama Alberta say, okay, he's a good boy. All this, I'm like, brother, why can't he be like Simon? Hallelujah. Yeah, he heard Petey. Oh, he heard treat. And so she says, Mommy got a treat for you. Oh, here you go. Just wait for that little treat. Oh, I got news for you. God got a treat for you. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Now, here we go. We're getting to where I want to go. All right? Verse number 12. For I am planting, this is God talking, seeds of peace and prosperity among you. Now, when God plants something, he gonna get his harvest. Jesus said, except the corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abides by itself. But if it die, it'll come forth and bring forth harvest. Here we are. He was the seed. We're the harvest. God says, I am planting seeds of peace and prosperity among us. Now, we're not talking about what you planted. We're talking about what he planted. Now, you ain't getting this. When he formed Adam, he had planted a garden and put his man in it. In other words, God created an atmosphere and then put his man in it. God is creating that house. Yeah, you sowed seed for it, but he is the one going to plant his seed in top of your seed and bring peace and prosperity to it, and then he's going to put you right in it. Okay. I can see why God wants 3 weeks of faith teaching. Can he do it?
Yes.
He said he's going to do it.
Yes.
For I'm planting seeds of peace and prosperity among you. And he said, this is what's going to happen. The grapevines will be heavy with fruit. Heavy. Have you ever seen? My dad had an orchard in Wisconsin, and when we came down to Kentucky here, he tried to use every ounce of, he come off the farm, and he's trying to use every ounce, every plot, every 3 foot to grow something. I mean, he ended up taking not just, our backyard was big anyways, and he turned all that, I'm thinking, man, we got a football field, we got a baseball field, he plowed it all up. Oh, well, that took care of that. And then all the neighbors were old folk, so he cut a deal with them that they didn't have to do nothing. Philip will take care of the garden. It went from a garden to a field. We had this one, we had that one, and we had the one on the other street behind us, right? So we had 1, 2, 3, 4 whole backyards plowed up. Then he goes and gets 1, 2, or 3 blocks away that I'd have to pull the tiller all the way over there to till it and bring it back home. See? When you see, there was an apple tree in our neighbor's yard, and it wasn't producing nothing. And Dad went out there with his chainsaw. I said, oh, Jesus. Because he was a... He had this chainsaw. McCulloch. And he's going to go to his grave with that chainsaw. Steel came out with their new chainsaw. Nah, I'm a McCulloch. And he was a Mercury man. If it wasn't a Mercury, you didn't have no vehicle. That's why my first real car was a Cougar. Mercury. See? He come out with that chainsaw, and boy, he went in, went to that neighbor's apple tree and just whacked it. I mean, you kill that thing. Of course, I didn't say nothing to him. And I looked at that tree, Me and Mama Alberta, we were fasting. That's when we were living at Mom and Dad's. I looked at that tree, and the word of the Lord came to me. He said, when you see that tree right there full of fruit, your ministry has started. Well, I was already doing Bible studies, preaching the street, so God didn't call that ministry. That was training ground. So we moved out of Mom and Dad's house. We went to the Cliff house. We went to the Alpha house, and all that time expired, and now we're going to the Marshall Islands, and we were getting rid of everything. We gave our cars away. We're giving all this stuff, everything, all of our possessions. We gave it away, stereo equipment, everything that we had kept from the farm, which wasn't much. We gave it all away, and we got our airplane tickets. You all heard that story about the 10,000 there. And we're staying at Mom's house again for just a couple of days. And so I'm in there, and the Lord said, you need to go look at that tree. I said, what? You need to go look at that tree. Folks, I went out there. I'm like, what happened to the tree? It's gone. I can't see it. And the Lord said, that's the tree. And so I parted the branches, and there's those three stumps, and out of them, these new branches, and this tree was so loaded with apples that it couldn't stay up. It was hanging on the ground with apples. Heavy with fruit. Are you ready for a heavy with fruit harvest? The grapevines will be heavy with fruit. The earth will produce its crops, and the heavens will release the dew. Now, don't miss what this is saying right there. This is heaven and earth working in sync. Every farmer will tell you, you need the earth right, and you need heaven right. You got to have the right sunshine, and you sure enough got to have the right dew, water, right? The earth will produce its crops. The heavens will release the dew once more. Once more. I will cause the remnant in Judah and Israel to inherit these blessings. The leaping doctrine. We're going to put that in the bylaws. What do y'all believe in your church? Well, we believe you got to leap when you hear something good. Can you show that to me in the scripture? Oh, yeah. Just go get the message. Five places. Remember that? Now we get to where I wanted to get, and we close right here. This is what Dennis Burke had said that went off in me like a rocket. Verse 13. Among the other nations, Judah and Israel became symbols of a cursed nation, but no longer. Now, everyone shout now.
Now,
now I will rescue you, rescue you, rescue you, rescue you, and make you both, watch this now, a symbol and a source of blessings. When people looked at you before, they just thought you were a Bible-thumping nut driving that faith car. Come on now. Nothing to really show for it. But no longer. No longer. Well, I didn't get no unction delete. Okay. You want to do it when you get the unction? Look what he says. You were symbols of the curse before. I'm going to make you a symbol and a source. Now, we know God is our source. We're not replacing ourselves with God. But he just said, you're going to inherit the blessing. Right? A symbol. A symbol. You take, I can't better on it. Dennis Burke used this example. I'll use it. The American flag. That to me is a symbol of freedom. It's a symbol of brave men and women. It's a symbol of our founding fathers. It's a symbol. You know, when you go travel overseas and you come back into America and you go through immigration, you see that American flag. You see it. Even though you're processing, you're standing in line, you see the American flag. And you look at that. You know you're going through this process right here to show your passport, answer a few questions, right? But you know that symbol belongs to you. Hallelujah. That you are a citizen of these United States of America. And that symbolizes, you can see it beyond where they're checking your passport. You are still in territory that is not allowing you to have what is symbolized in front of you. But you're going through the process. I said you're going through the process. Well, we got a symbol of the cross. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that don't believe, but unto us that believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. Somebody shout in here. And God says, I'm going to make you a symbol of freedom. You're just going through the process. Your soul is just going through the process of being renewed into this liberty of the kingdom in which you've been translated into. Hallelujah! Not a broke symbol. Not a beat-up symbol. Not a depressed symbol. What kind of symbol is that? The church has been like that. That's what we have been symbolizing. Hallelujah! We are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they're going to look at you. They're going to look at me like that lady that came to us at Christmas Day out there at the Lazy Eight. I'd led her son to the Lord. She was a multimillionaire, and she was about to write him out of the will. And I gave him my 30-aught to go deer hunting, 30-06, to go deer hunting. Just gave it to him. Never been fired. And he said, well, I'll go to my mom's 1,500-acre farm in Lexington, and I'll get us a deer Christmas Day. Christmas Day. We don't have nothing. Knock on the front door. It's him. Said, I got the deer. Had a cooler. Everything all been butchered up and packaged. And he said, Philip, you're not going to believe what happened. I went out to my mom's farm, and I prayed that prayer like you said, and that deer, two deer came out. And I said, well, I'll get one of them. He dropped one of them. The other one just stood there. He said, I dropped both of them. I got one. You got one. And my mom's outside, and she wants to meet you. I look outside. There's a black Mercedes shining. I mean shining. At the Lazy Eight. I said, well, tell her to come in. She comes in. She's got her mink on, diamonds on, hair all in place. You know, the tease kind of hair. Right? And she held her head up. She knew who she was. And she come into our little farmhouse, sat down at our little antique kitchen table. She sat down. I sat down. And she does this. Looking at me up and down. I'm like, oh, Jesus, help me, Lord. She said, yep, you're one of them. I said, one of what? You're one of them Pentecostals. I wanted to meet the man that changed my son's life. He went, after I told him how to pray the prayer, he went and got born again, totally changed. Bam! Drugs, alcohol, gone. Went back to apologize to his mom. And she said, I was going to write him out of the will. He's sitting there with the mouth shut. She said, where do you go to church? I said, Assembly of God. She said, yeah. Me and my husband helped build that church. They couldn't go there because of their wealth. People be praying on them. They're going to look at you as a symbol. And they're going to say, yep. You one of them. Look at your neighbor and say, you one of them. Is this good or what? Then he says, a source of blessing. A source of blessing. Not a symbol of blessing. You symbolize the blessing in the symbolic life that you have. But now you are a source. Can I say it in language that you understand? You are a paymaster. Me and Mom have done a lot to help people. Glad to do it. Cars. Help people get into housing, furniture, vacations, you name it. Yeah, money. Not bragging on us. Remember, we left everything. It is God that blesses you to be a blessing. That's what he told Abraham. And right here, it says we used to be symbols of a cursed nation. No more. I'm going to rescue you and make you a symbol and a source of blessing. Now, folks, you don't wait till your cup is running over to be a source of blessing. You start right where you are. It might be buying somebody a hamburger. Come on now. And you didn't eat one. Hello? Come on. This is how it works. I remember a lady that told us, well, I told God, if you give me a Cadillac, I'll give away my car. Honey, you got it backwards. You give away your car, and then you get the car. Or you plant a seed equal to that car's level of manifestation. See? But a lot of people, they don't want to take a leap because they're freaking out trying to figure out what they're going to do after that. We were in a meeting. It was a conference meeting. And I'm up there preaching. I'm happy. Power of God just swirling. And the Lord, at that time, we had a G-O. G-O. I'm not making fun if you got a G-O. It just wasn't me. But it started. And you put it in gear, it went in the right direction. And when you hit the brakes, it would stop. So praise God. And we had this old Blazer that I put decals on that thing and pinstripes on it and everything else, you know, just doing everything. Seat covers. That's back in seat cover day. You know, seat covers cover a multitude of sin. You know, you just put them seat covers in there. Praise the Lord. Just look straight ahead. Hallelujah. Amen. But those were our vehicles. We had two vehicles. Right? Mama Alberta could go shopping. I could go to the church. I mean, that was big time. And I'm preaching. The Lord said, Philip, yes, sir. I want you to give those two vehicles away. Okay. Now. What do you mean now? We're in a meeting. No, you see that person there? You see that person over there? I want you to give them to him now. Now, my seamer is trying to figure out how we're going to get home. My seamer is all of a sudden, I richly enjoyed the G.O. And Mama Alberta comes walking in. I guess she'd just gone to the bathroom out of the meeting. She come walking in offside. I was up there on the platform. She come walking inside. I looked at her and said, I said, Alberta, you ready? And she knew when I said that we were about to give something. She said, yeah, I'm ready to do it. I said, so-and-so, stand up. Giving you our Jew. So-and-so, stand up. Giving you our Blazer. Oh, everybody. I wasn't jumping. Come on now. You sure you want to be a blessing? Because God will get you past that to where you don't have to give away your stuff that he's blessed you with. See? You'll be able to buy it for people. Come on. And before we could transfer those two vehicles, we had the best vehicle given to us up until that time. It was a Ford Taurus, but everything worked on it. There was no, when you started it up, you know, a Christmas light thing on the panel where every warning light was lit up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it had just under 100,000. Just under 100,000. And we were 100,000 mile people there for a few years. How many miles on it? 150,000. Well, praise the Lord, that ain't too many. Add them cars go 300,000 miles. Okay, praise the Lord. Well, guess what? A brand new one will go 300,000 miles too. Yeah. I'm not knocking anybody down. I'm just telling you what I've gone through. And I remember when we were going to get a SUV, and it was, we said it has to be a 2000 or above. This was back in 2008, 2009, something like that. And it had to be at least in a, now see, we're breaking the ceiling. We're breaking the ceiling. We're getting into the 2000. Had to be. And it took all we had. All we had. I mean, I had $3,000 in cash and $3,000 in my checking account. And what we had, we traded in on it, if I remember right. And we left out of there with our expedition. And we got in it. Ooh, look at this. Oh, look at her, hon. What's that do? Oh, look at that. Look at that. You hearing this? God wants us way beyond that. But this is progression. But see, you are living in an accelerated time frame. God's running out of time to get your harvest to you. See? And he's going to make you a source of blessing. So look what it says. So don't be afraid. Be strong and get on with rebuilding. Phase 2. Come on now. He tells you what's going to happen with you. Stick with the assignment that I told you as a corporate people. Don't be afraid. Be strong. As you're doing this for me, I'm going to do this for you and the city that you live in. Did you get a release from that tonight? Tonight, this morning. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid. Be strong and get on with your assignment. Folks, we ain't slowing down around here. We're gonna keep our foot Elder family got to know I love them. Could I stay on them? What electric company saying? I'm just getting ready to call them, Pastor. Yeah, right. You're getting ready to call them because I said that. We got to keep this thing moving. Come on now. We can't drop the ball. We can't fumble. Are you following this? You are the people that when I'm in phase two preaching, and I just go like this. Y'all remember when we were down there? And other people be looking at you, what they talking about? Or when I point to a certain side of the sanctuary, I said, you remember when we were over there? down there and over there. We're here. And they're going to be like, what was that? But you know. But you know. You know. Come on, and you know your involvement. And you're going to look at your brothers and sisters in the Lord and say, hey, remember when we were doing Operation Faith? Remember where I used to live? Look where I live now. Remember what I used to drive? Look what I'm driving now. Come on. Come on now. Source of blessing. I believe that there are millionaires in here. I believe it. 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 Hey! Glory to God. So God laid this out for us. And starting Tuesday, I'm bringing in faith messages. And if you, for some reason, can't be here because of whatever, let me define whatever. Not you lazy, but because of work or whatever. Don't miss a message. Again, I plan on just going an hour each night because I know this is a lot, but a lot can be said in an hour. A lot can be released in that amount of time. And remember Titus 1:3, how God manifested his word through preaching. Preaching takes a logos word and brings it into a rhema revelation. Now let me say it again. Preaching takes the logos, that's the written word that you read. Preaching takes the logos word and brings it into rhema revelation. No longer is it a memory verse that you're quoting. It's speaking to you. It's speaking to you inside. Come on now. Did you get anything out of that this morning? My God, my God, my God. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Father, we thank you for this gathering today. We receive this release from you that we will be a symbol and a source that you're going to use our lives and this ministry to shake this city and state. And we thank you, Lord, that we are in the process of being that symbol and that source of blessing, that we can help those that are down and out, those that are up and out, whatever it may be. And Lord, I've released that the best way I know in such a short time that you released it to me. And I just trust that the people don't let the excitement of what they just heard not find root down in their lives. That it's a sealed deal that they are to be a symbol and a source of blessing. Thank you for it, Lord. And Lord, we're going to be strong. We're going to finish what you've signed us to do. We're going to finish phase two. It will be magnificent to your glory. To your glory. Not to any man's glory, but to your glory. And we thank you for those $110,000 donors that you're touching their hearts. You're speaking their hearts. We thank you for all the ones that have come forth already. And we thank you, Lord God, that you give us wisdom to proceed forward in what to do, when to do it, how to do it, And we thank you for your divine orchestration in that. And we thank you that you're orchestrating our personal lives. You're giving us wisdom on what to do and where to do it, how to do it. And we thank you, Lord God, that we are blessed, blessed, blessed. We rejoice in that in Jesus' name. Now lift your hands. Let me bless you. Father, blessings upon these, your people, as they go their way, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially. I bless them out of the house of the Lord in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen. Share the love of Jesus with those around you. We'll see you Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. Come in here.